Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and welcome to Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. This is the fourth and final episode in my pregnancy mini-series, and it's all about postpartum. My guest is parenting and baby expert Claire Thompson, who goes by the Instagram handle, The Newborn Nanny.
I have four children, so I have four children in 5 years.
Wow.
And with the first one, I'll never forget my cousin coming over who just had a baby. And I was probably a week postpartum, and I looked at her and said, why didn't you tell me this? Why didn't you tell me the nitty gritty details? Because I think it was just so unsaid. No one spoke about it. And I wasn't prepared for it, even though I knew so much about it, like myself helping mothers, but I didn't see the real behind the scenes.
Claire lives in Wicklow with her husband Ben and their four kids. And in this conversation, we delve into the often unspoken world of postpartum. She takes us from the moment your baby is born to those hours, days, weeks and months that follow. And she gives tons of practical advice that I really think will help you navigate those early days. Here it is. So this is all about the fourth trimester. This is the moment when your baby is born and beyond. And it is a life-changing time in a woman's life, particularly, you know, for those who are becoming a mother for the first time. And we don't hear enough about it, in my opinion. So I'm delighted that we're doing this, because I think this is going to be really valuable information
Absolutely.
For those listening.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when it comes to the as I call it, the fourth trimester, it's all about, you know, the first 3 months for mum as well as baby. The focus is always on baby and what, you know, we talk about antenatal classes and what happens with baby and even during labour. But then, you know, are we really prepared for what happens after for us? Possibly not. So I think to have that focus. Yeah, I think it's important to have these conversations about postpartum. I think it gives a good confidence, you know, it really empowers women to know what's coming for themselves and not feel kind of isolated thinking, oh my God, am I the only person going through this? So it's important to have these conversations for sure.
You've hit the nail on the head, because I think if that was one word I would use to describe what I would love these episodes to be, is empowering, because I think information is power.
Mm-hmm,
and
absolutely.
For me, first time round, I was just hungry for knowledge and it stood to me. But the one part I didn't maybe do enough research into was what we're going to talk about now, which is when you have your baby. Before we get into it, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I have always had a huge interest in babies, and I was that cousin that looked after all the little baby cousins. That was me. And it was no shock or surprise to my family and friends that I went into childcare. I got a degree in childcare and worked with so many families. I was, even in my 20s, I was a nanny to four boys, and it didn't even bother me. You know, it was just part of who I was, I suppose. But one aspect I loved was newborn care. And I went and trained in postpartum care, so to do with like non-medical maternity nursing, so to work with families and mothers just after having a baby, and really seeing the realistic side of it, where, you know, newborns are there, mum's tired, I'm helping them with nutrition. And honestly, after I worked there, I thought I knew everything about it. So before I had my own children, I was quite confident that I knew exactly what was coming up. I was shocked. Yeah. I did not know the reality. And I think that's really important to be aware of that. When I first had, I have four children. So I have four children in 5 years.
Wow.
And with the first one, I'll never forget my cousin coming over who just had a baby. And I was probably a week postpartum. And I looked at her and said, why didn't you tell me this? Why didn't you tell me the nitty gritty details? Because I think it was just so unsaid. No one spoke about it. And I wasn't prepared for it, even though I knew so much about it, like myself helping mothers. But I didn't see the real behind the scenes things that are happening. So I think that's what kind of really pushed me to go and give this information out. So I run The Newborn Annie on Instagram, and it's all about telling parents and mums to be, you know, what is coming up and the realistic side of it, to be honest, you know.
Oh, good on you. And I think you're really doing a great service because we need it. Mm-hmm. And it's lovely. Your delivery is very calm and practical, which I think is what is needed. And as you said, realistic. And the name of the podcast is Ready to Be Real. So this is what we're all about. Okay, so for me, when I think back to those first few minutes and hours after having a baby, I will never forget trying to go to the toilet for the first time after giving birth.
Yes. The physical side of things, I think it's definitely not spoken about.
No.
And, you know, it's when they hand you the little brown thing that you have to go urinate in, and you're going, oh my God, I haven't even thought about this yet. And if you had stitches, which is, you know, it's a common occurrence, all of a sudden you have the fear of God going, how am I going to do this? It's not as scary as it has to be like this. If you have this information before having a baby, you feel, okay, I know what to do in this situation. My advice for sure is to bring a little jug in.
This is genius.
Isn't it? It's the simplest thing.
I didn't have this, you see.
Do you know, I got given it in hospital on my second child. And I was like, why aren't they not giving these out to every single mother, you know, in every hospital? And it's just this little plastic jug. And when you're about to urinate for the first time and you're worrying about stinging or anything like that, you put some warm water in it from the tap and literally pour as you go. And I mean, every sting, gone. It's so simple and just so effective. Right.
Yeah, because I didn't have that and it hurt like hell.
Yes. And the thing about it is it can do for a couple of days, you know, especially if there's stitches there.
But then I did use a bottle of water myself.
Yes.
I don't know.
Or a peri bottle, it's called as well.
Okay.
But I think of spraying that as, you know, might as well just have a jug just to pour it down. So much easier.
Really good. So you pop that into your hospital bag.
I have that in the hospital bag with me, just in case. Yeah.
And where would you get them? Anywhere.
Anywhere. They're really cheap. I'd say even from the pound shop. It's a tiny little cheap plastic jug, but you could always ask your hospital too, because they obviously had them in Wexford Hospital where I was, so I'm giving them out too. And then when it comes to that as well, your first bowel movement, that's something that can be quite scary too, because
you just don't want to be pushing in that area.
You don't want to be pushing in that area. It's been through a lot.
Yeah.
So my advice would have a clean pad on hand, and just put, if you do have stitches, to put the pad against it so it doesn't feel like you're pushing or it's going to burst stitches. It won't burst a stitch. But
very good.
Previous to that, maybe a lot of water, making sure you're, you know, really hydrated is important. A lot of fiber in the diet too. If you think about it, when you're in hospital, even though we love that white toast, it's white toast. It's quite starchy. Mm. So just to make sure that you are having, you know, a lot of water to flush out the system as well while you're in there too. And when you're home.
So especially. It might be a good idea to bring in some, I don't know, you know, there are obviously certain foods that are fortified with fiber or supplements
Absolutely.
That you can
or
take
that might help.
Or even
my husband was all about the prunes. He's like, here, you have the prunes. Now, I'm not a good dried prune person, but I ate them for that reason. I was like, I'll do whatever it takes, you know. Mm. And I actually got there also over the counter, like that a constipation happens through pregnancy too, especially as baby gets bigger. And so there was fiber gel, which is quite natural. Just take a little sachet just before going into labor too.
Okay,
but it also helped
good.
Me postpartum. Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. And we'll have a full list of any products or, you know, any tips that you have in the show notes for people to review as well. Because one thing I didn't do was drink enough water in the beginning, because I kind of in my head, foolishly, I kind of thought, well, if I don't drink water, then I don't have to pee.
That's it.
But actually,
see that.
You need to be drinking the water so that when you do go to the loo, that it's it's not as condensed, so it's not
correct.
A sore.
Isn't it's that not it? A sore. That's it. It really just flushes out the system.
So lurry it into you.
That's it. And bring your own drink bottle with a little, you know, straw on top. So it's you don't have to go keep refilling a massive big bottle there that you can just chug away with through pregnancy or sorry, during the labour. And then obviously during afterwards is really, really important too. One thing as well that I wasn't prepared for was the bleeding. You know, people tell you, obviously you bleed, but for not such a long period of time, and to have that preparation at home too is really important, to have your pads there. So just as it's important for baby to have nappies at home, it's important for you to be prepared for yourself too, to have the pads, to have a little postpartum drawer next to the toilet, and stock it up before you go in to have the baby, so you're really prepared for the bleeding, because it can last from 4 to 8 weeks.
And okay, and it's different for obviously for every woman.
Absolutely different for everyone, but myself, I was always on the latter side. I was always at 8 weeks, which I was, you know, my friend would be like, "Oh, only 2 weeks." So it really is. It changes
good
for
to be
everyone.
Prepared for that.
Absolutely, yes. And another thing as well we can talk about would be like hair loss. I think it hits you at around 4 months postpartum. So just when you think you're over the curve of, you know, another physical side of it, some people do lose the hair as well. And
a lot.
A lot of hair, like clumps. I remember standing in the shower taking clumps out of my hair, which, you know, it's not pleasant to look at and to feel like that. And you're tying your hair up all the time because you're dealing with a small baby. So it does, you know, take its toll on the body for quite a long time.
And I mean, I know we've jumped kind of forward, but it does bring up the whole, you know, having to come to terms with your body after
Absolutely.
You give birth and how radically changed it is. Mm-hmm. There is a huge period of adjustment, isn't there?
Absolutely.
And all of that that goes with it, like the losing of the hair, it doesn't happen to every woman, but a majority, and some mm-hmm. happens to more, and it's more obvious depending on their own hair type. But looking in the mirror and having to accept this big change that's happened, because often we you know, when we're pregnant, we like to rub our tummies and mm-hmm. and you know, because
we're the best part.
It's the best part. And you're connecting to baby and you're feeling really proud of what your body is mm-hmm. doing. Like you don't see many women after giving birth rubbing their tummies
Absolutely
with love.
Absolutely not. And I think, you know, when you do look in the mirror, especially just after you have your baby, you don't think that your body is, it's not going to just bounce back the way you sometimes see on Instagram people just all of a sudden, like they never had a baby in there. It normally looks like you're still around 6 months pregnant after the baby
Absolutely.
Comes out. Now that's, you'll see that reduce. Your tummy does a lot of contracting over the next couple of weeks, and it does reduce down. But, you know, my children, when I come home with a baby in my arms, they're always still going, "Well, is the baby still in there, mommy?" Because there is a, you know, still bump there.
Yeah.
I'd say pack your maternity leggings to bring home, and you won't be jumping into your size 8 jeans, you know, to mentally be prepared for that, that your body will take time to change and to get back to a new type of body, rather than bouncing back. Your hips might be wider.
Yeah.
You know, if you're breastfeeding, they're going to get bigger as well. Stretch marks happen. And it's just to accept that and be happy that, and think about, okay, but my body just birthed a baby. You know, my body gave birth to this baby or is feeding a baby. You know, we have to be kinder to ourselves really postpartum for sure. Mm.
It's lovely. And I think it's important that you said that. I think it's important for women to hear these words, whether you're listening to this after having your baby, mm-hmm. you might have the headphones on, you might be feeding your baby right now and listening to these words, but it's important to be told and to just go easy and recognize that you have done something life changing. Because I actually feel like I completely rewired as a person when my son was born.
Mm.
I completely changed. It was like something just, I don't know if it's magical or biological or a combination of all those things, but I definitely think like it was a massive shift in me.
Yeah.
In every way.
It does. But there's something to be like mindful of also. But if you are feeling changes in your body and it just doesn't feel right, you know, sometimes it's a taboo subject to talk about if you leak after having a baby, like if all of a sudden you have a very weak bladder or weak bowel, and we don't talk about it enough. We hide it under, sweep it under the rug and say like, "Oh, it's just part of postpartum." It's not, you know. Yeah. I think it's important that if this alarm bell's gone off in your head and something doesn't feel right, that you go get it checked. And it's not just go to your doctor after 6 weeks, because what normally happens at 6 weeks, they do a lot of focus on baby and obviously to do a little mental check with you to make sure you're feeling okay. But sometimes it's after. Sometimes you're, you know, you want to go back into working out and it just doesn't feel, your body doesn't feel the way it should. There are places to go, like there's a woman's health physio check, which is important, and they go through everything. If you suffer with prolapse, if you have bladder issues, abdominal separation, all those things can be checked, and it's important we do take care of ourselves. At the end of the day, you know, we want a healthy mum as well as healthy baby going through this.
Brilliant, brilliant advice. And I think, again, you know, it's not just in the period after you have a baby, but it's into your old age, like looking after your pelvic floor and that part of your body is so important, so that you don't have you know,
issues,
more issues
going on. Going on.
And if there are, you know, you can get them resolved sorted.
It doesn't need to be like, oh, it will sort itself out, because that's not always the case. Your health is your wealth at the end of the day, and you're looking after a baby as well, or babies. You need to take care of yourself. Physically, it is very important to take care of yourself.
I've really noted the difference this time around. 4 years after I was, you know, last pregnant with my boy, that my pelvic floor is definitely weaker. Mm-hmm. It's been quite humbling. I didn't have that first time where I've noticed that if I don't go to the loo when I need to go to the loo, and if I was to cough or sneeze or laugh, you know, I might be unpleasantly surprised. Let's just say.
There you go.
So I've kind of got a note to self. Do the bloody exercises again.
Absolutely. And you know what? I thought I knew I was doing the exercises right. I just, you know, I've had four children. Recently, I spoke to the mum gym and we were talking about it. And she actually walked me through to do a pelvic floor. And I realised I wasn't doing it right the entire time. So it shows you that to get the right information on how to do it, and how when you inhale, you extend your tummy and then you lift up as you exhale. That's so important to get it right, that you're not kind of just doing little bits and bobs of it and not actually getting what you should be doing to really improve the pelvic floor.
Brilliant. Can you, if you can remember, I mean, you've just explained it there anyway, brilliantly, but say to go through a breath for somebody listening. What the correct way of doing? So you're inhaling and you're
extending out your belly. So you're inhaling and pushing the belly out.
Like a balloon. Yeah.
And then when you exhale, you tighten up the pelvic floor and push the air out. So it's a very strange. Even when I was being talked through it, I found it really hard to get the movement right until I practiced it a couple of times by myself. To take the time and get the right information.
And it's not just important to do it when you're pregnant and after you've had your baby, but for women, it's important for us to do it all the time. And basically what I've learned is I let it slide. Let it slide. And you know, I remember it being described brilliantly to me once, like your pelvic floor muscles are like an umbrella, an upturned umbrella that's filled with water. Like, say, imagine it was raining and some of the spindles are kind of weakened, especially when you've had a baby or you're pregnant. And if you don't strengthen it, what happens? It spills over.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, really good way of explaining it. I was very fortunate that I had an uncomplicated birth with my son. But nonetheless, here I am. Mm-hmm. So it's important. And as you said, there are so many different experiences along the line of what your childbirth is, whether you've had stitches or an episiotomy or whatever.
Or a section. Yeah.
And you will need maybe some assistance with that. And there's no shame in it. And there's no embarrassment. And it is completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get better at talking about these things. Okay, let's talk about hormones.
Yes. Hormones, the pregnancy hormones don't go away like we expect them to. Straight after having a baby, you know, there's a lot of changes happening in your body as well as physically. And normally by day two, day three, we get what's called the baby blues. Baby blues, I find, can be both high highs or low lows. And, you know, we always expect them to be crying and for any drop of a pin, you're crying for no reason. But actually, I found with two of my children, it was complete opposite. It was complete joy, overjoy. I was crying joyful tears. Yeah. So it can hit you either way.
Interesting. Euphoria.
That's exactly what it was. And just every time I looked at my baby, I'd be like, oh, they're just so pretty. You know, it was just unbelievable. And obviously that's a nicer way to go through the baby blues, I suppose, to be so happy. But we need to be careful and be mindful when this continues for a long period of time. So we're talking about postnatal depression. It's a big subject that we need to talk about. I think we try to hide it from partners. We try to hide it from friends and family too. But the most important thing is that we talk. We need to talk to our partner of how we feel. You know, we need to talk to a friend or your mother or whoever's around, you know, someone that's gone through it before, because it's conversations that need to happen.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. And unfortunately, we're all aware of stories, horrific stories in the news, where women who perhaps didn't realise or didn't realise it was as serious, and then it leads to devastating consequences. And that's in the extreme, but nonetheless, that's the reality of how serious a condition it is.
Correct. And even when it comes to your mental health, like I take my hat off to everyone who's gone through recently going through COVID and being pregnant. Like, it's just been so tough for you guys. I can't even imagine going through pregnancy, going into the antenatal classes. But then, you know, it's, you're not getting the same opportunity to talk to people, to talk to midwives, to be around other people, your friends, through your pregnancy. It's going to take its toll on your mental health for sure. So this plus postnatal hormones, you know, it can really mess with your mind. And it's so important we take care of that now after having a baby.
Because I suppose sometimes, would you even realize it yourself? Like, is it a case of maybe those around you really need to be watching out for any little telltale signs? Because I know that when the public health nurse came to the house, she was very good at actually talking to my partner and asking,
how is she doing? Because what happens is when they ask us the question, typical, oh yeah, no, we're fine. We're grand, we're fine.
Yeah.
And I think it's just this pride that you don't want to show that you're a bad mother or I can't cope with this situation. So we do. We lie and we say, oh, we're grand, we're fine. While the partner may not be so, you know, he'll want to tell the truth or she'll want to tell the truth about what is happening with you. And it's important because it's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect your whole family dynamic as well as the baby too. Yeah. We want to make sure that mum has a good bond with baby, and postpartum or postnatal depression can affect that. It can affect the relationship you have with your family. So it needs to be definitely looked into if there was any kind of indication that something isn't right there. I find personally fresh air. Like sometimes when I'm in the house, if you feel that the weight of the world's on your shoulders, sometimes you just need to get out of the house. And even if it takes you 2 hours to load up the kids or the buggy, just to get out and have a breath of fresh air and, you know, get out of the prison sometimes, which are the walls of your house.
Yes. I mean, I even had it the last day where I am not an anxious person, but this is slightly different for me in this pregnancy. I'm feeling a little anxious now in the last few weeks, just because I'm noticing it, because it's not in my nature to be like this.
Yeah.
And I sometimes feel a bit overwhelmed or borderline overwhelmed about the stuff that I have to do. And I sometimes leads to me being a little teary or a bit irritable. And I went out the back and I just slipped off the shoes and stood on the grass. That for me works, you know. And
grinding.
I just stood there for a while and I just, as you said, took a few deep breaths. I was out of the house, even though I wasn't actually physically away from it. I was looking at the house. I just felt better. And it's sometimes it's those simple things that little kind of snap you out of your mood and allow you, as you just said there, it is a grounding exercise. It allows you to kind of just land into your body and to be. And it's important to do that. It's really important.
And the thing about it is as well, you know, it's not just the first time mum feeling like this. As you said, like, you have your son and you're pregnant again. I find it triggers more so when you do have more children at home. You find it a bit more overwhelming because before, if you're pregnant with your first, your focus is on that one child. All of a sudden now it could be, oh, how am I going to handle? It's always the how am I going to handle two or three or four. So that's where that anxiety comes in. It's something that's once again unknown to you and you're trying to juggle. You're trying to figure out how is this all going to play, you know, how's it all going to lead out. Yeah. And it always works out and you can do it. Absolutely 100% you can do it. It's just, it's always the doubts. That's part of the hormones as well.
Yeah. Just back to what you were saying there about your own feelings about the baby blues. It's interesting. I hadn't heard that before. And I love to hear that because I think I was quite similar to you. I'll never forget coming back from the hospital, coming home from the hospital. And going up to our little boy's room, and my partner had added some extra bits in while I was away. And what got to me was the light shade. It was like a cute little nursery light shade. But I thought it was so lovely and so cute that I fell against the wall crying. But I was silent crying. It was like this weird silent, like, I don't know what it was, but it was, and the tears streaming down my face. Damien walks in going, are you okay? Are you okay? I was like, no, it's just so lovely.
Happy tears.
Just happy, like absolute euphoria.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I'm the luckiest person in the world, you know? So they were the tears for me as well. It was feeling this overwhelming sense of gratitude and almost not being able to deal with it, looking at my little boy and just bursting into tears because I just felt so lucky. But then, as you said, you know, it's the hormones and everything. And then I suppose later on, it's when, because I remember going in for the 6 week check as well. And my consultant was asking me, how are you? And I was like, I was still kind of in that. Everything's great. And she was like, OK, watch out for that. Because when the adrenaline wears off.
Yes. You know, and tiredness kicks in,
mm-hmm. you may be feeling a little bit different.
I always find when my husband has to go to work, that is my low moment. It's always the night before and he's had his paternity leave and he's getting ready to go. And I look at him and go, I can't do this by myself. And he's like, of course you can. It's that low point. Yeah. The hormones just rush, take over. And all of a sudden I am a shell on the ground. I'm crying my eyes out. Now, when my husband goes to work the next day, he always leaves me a little present and a little note. And when he walks out the door, I close the door, I get on with it, and it's absolutely fine. And actually, I find I get more into a rhythm when he goes. Okay. But it's always the initial before he leaves. That's where I get really overwhelmed. It's just that triggers me.
Yeah.
And with each child I've had, you know, with the four, I was like, I don't have enough arms for this.
Well, but yeah, you four. Come
yes,
on.
Yeah.
You are busy.
That is true.
And like, I think, you know, society now has changed so much where, you know, a lot of women feel very irritated when people say sleep when the baby sleeps. And that's all well and good if you have other people around to look after.
If you're a maternity nurse like I am for parents going in and, you know, taking over the night shift. But it's much easier said than done. And especially if you have more than one child, you cannot sleep when you have a toddler running around when your baby is sleeping. Mm-hmm. It's just you need to rest. And when I say rest, I mean make yourself a cup of tea, sit down and maybe play trains with your toddler in a nice, calm way. That's your rest.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to, you know, lying in bed with your first baby. It's completely different.
Completely different, yeah. And you mentioned rightly so, we need to talk about the fact that the landscape is so changed now due to the pandemic. And, you know, people aren't having as many visitors as they normally would. And perhaps that's a good thing in a way. I wasn't a mad fan of a lot of visitors in the early days.
Yeah.
I'll be totally
agree
honest.
With you. Yeah.
Because I was trying to get to grips with breastfeeding and all the changes, and I didn't really want an audience. Now, I love people coming and delivering food and becking off. That was amazing.
Doing a bit of cleaning. That's fantastic.
Cleaning, food deliveries, all good. But hanging about, maybe not so much in the beginning. I know it probably doesn't make me sound great, but I think it is a good bit of advice for first-time mothers and parents is to limit the amount of visitors.
Yes.
And the good thing, I suppose that's a bizarre kind of a positive with COVID is we're not having as many visitors in the beginning. Culturally, things are so different now. As in, you know, like back in the day, you look at like, you know, kind of, you know, the way we were and the way we lived, there was a lot more support in a community around a woman when she had a baby. Whereas now it's kind of expected to just get on with it. And as you said, like your partner went back to work and you're kind of left then really
just to
do it yourself.
Yeah.
And that is an extra challenge that I suppose women have to contend with. And it isn't easy and it needs to be recognized that it's, you're going through a huge period of change, especially if you've had a difficult birth experience. You're expected to just kind of get on with it and that's it. In any other situation, you would take to the bed and you would recover and recuperate. Mm-hmm. But not when it comes to childbirth.
No. And then, you know, you're looking after small children too. You're looking after a small baby and, you know, touch wood that babies are all happy and healthy. But that's not always the case. Sometimes they have a bit of colic or they have a bit of reflux and it's even tougher on mum, you know. So like that, rest when you can. But otherwise, you take any help that you can get. So if you have someone coming over, they don't have to hold the baby. They can maybe empty out, you know, do the dishes or do something that's helpful in the house. Take your toddler out and bring them for a walk. That's what I found the most helpful when I had a baby with other children there. Like if my parents came over, they'd take the children to the playground just to give you, even you and baby, and actually let you rest when baby's sleeping or feed in peace. Something so small can really help a mother with multiple children.
Yeah. So in terms of having the baby itself, obviously, the majority of women will have their babies in hospitals. Some will opt for a home birth experience. Mm-hmm. But however your baby is born, whether it's a vaginal delivery or whether it's a C-section, you know, you are a mother now.
Yes.
This is the gig.
That's your role. Yep.
Yeah. And sleep is one of these elusive you know, qualities after you have the baby. It's hard enough to sleep when you're pregnant, but it becomes a whole
It prepares you, right?
Yeah, it is. It's prepping you.
Pregnancy, especially at the very, very end, your last trimester, where you're up a lot to go toilet or you just can't seem to get settled and you seem to be up half the night. It's preparing you for what's the next couple of weeks to come, you know, and it does get better, absolutely gets better, and you will be able to rest. But yeah, there's...
When you're in it,
it's...
Hardcore.
It's tough. It's tough going. Absolutely.
It is. And it does feel never ending sometimes when you're in that, God, I feel like I'm asleep for 5 seconds and I'm awake again. Any tips on how to manage that? Or is it just a case of you got to go with it, you got to lean into it and go with the flow, because every baby is different, I suppose, and they feed differently and sleep differently?
That's the thing. It's always down to the family and the dynamics of the family. If you have a good toddler sleeping and you have a baby sleeping next to you, and a lot of the time I go into clients' houses, maybe that's not the case, but, you know, some parents are very much like, oh, our baby's a great sleeper, so we're getting loads of sleep. You walk into another house and completely different, where baby is breastfeeding and it's going through a bit of a feed and they're feeding every half an hour on mum and she's just completely exhausted. So it really is just trying your best to take that postpartum period as kind of a free for all. There doesn't need to be structure in it here. You know, you need to do what your body is telling you to do. First of all, if you need to rest or you need to take it easy or maybe not push yourself. I think we're inclined to push ourselves just after we have baby, to show off our baby, to go out, to bring our toddlers for walks. And I definitely find myself, that's where my mum guilt comes from. Okay. My mum guilt would be, I'm not doing what I was doing previously before, like when I was pregnant. I'm not doing the same things with my toddler or my child that I was doing, you know, now a baby.
Right.
I don't have the energy to do it. To be good to yourself and say, hold on, you know, I'm trying to keep how many babies alive here. You know, I'm trying to keep myself going. I'm trying to keep everyone strong, get food on the table. It's okay to not push yourself.
Yeah.
And take that break when you need it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yes. I definitely went through a massive period of guilt. I know we're going to get to it as well in the whole feeding your baby and the choices available and the choices you decide, or perhaps you don't decide on, but it just happens that way. And in my situation, I had an idea that I wanted to breastfeed for up to 6 months. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. It didn't happen. And that was tough for me to make peace with, because I felt a huge amount of guilt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was really challenging. It really deeply upset me. And when I got over it and was actually nice to myself, I realized I'd given myself an awful hard time. And I hope and pray, and I don't think, knowing what I've known now, that I'll do that again. If it works or if it doesn't work, regardless of what happens, I'm going to be okay with it, because I think I beat myself up, and I made a difficult situation 20 times worse. By struggling with it rather than accepting that maybe it's not a path for everyone. And I suppose this is one of these topics I have learned through talking about stuff on Instagram, that there are certain almost no-go areas.
Taboo, do not touch areas. But in fairness,
and breastfeeding is one of these.
Absolutely. I touch off it way too much, I think. I suppose that's what my job is. I'm a postnatal care, but I tell everyone that I meet, or even through Instagram, I am pro-choice. I'm always pro-choice.
Great.
Whatever works for mum works for baby. If it makes mum happy, it makes baby happy. You know, I think fed is best, and I support mums in all areas. I've done breastfeeding. I've showed a proper latch. I've done combi fed with parents. I've done formula fed, whatever works for them. For sure. And this is the whole guilt. Absolutely. There's a lot of pressure, for sure. Through social media, through maybe family members, through friends. You can feel the pressure sometimes when it comes to your choices in, and definitely feeding is one of those.
There isn't a one size fits all when it comes to pregnancy, childbirth, feeding, parenthood. We're all different. We're all unique. Mm-hmm. And it's not up to any of us to judge each other.
No. And
we need to be there to support each other.
We know that, like, breastfeeding, you know, breast milk is tailor made for your baby. We know it's amazing for their little immune systems. It provides antibodies. You know, it helps decrease mom's risk of getting ovarian cancer, breast cancer. So there's so many positives to it. And that's why it is shown we should try this. But not everyone has that view or wants to try it, or goes in like that to the hospital and goes, I'm going to breastfeed. And then all of a sudden, when you give birth, go, oh, actually, it's not really for me. Can I have formula, please? And the judgments come, like, I found myself personally, I combi fed all my four children. Mm. So I breastfed with some, and then I pumped. Then I just pumped and formula fed. I literally did every kind of feeding with all four children. There's one child that didn't get any breast milk. And that was to do with me feeling overwhelmed. Yeah. I had a small toddler, tiny little baby. How can I do this? How can I sit in a chair and feed? So,
you had your four kids in 5 years. Come on.
Well, that's true. That's true. It's my per body.
I kept leaving you voice messages going, you're a legend. You're amazing. It's bloody true. It's true.
But like, we all know the benefits of it. It's just, we just have
to.
The reality is not always what we expect. Huh. And people ask me, because I do these consultations with parents about combi feeding, and why isn't there information out there about combi feeding? And the thing about combi feeding is that it's down really tailored to the mother, what she wants to do. You know, every time you use a formula, it means that your supply of breast milk is going to go down. They have to understand this. So if you want to feed for 6 months, like breastfeeding, and do a combi, you have to keep that in mind. It may go a lot quicker than what you expect. If you kind of say, hey, listen, we'll play it by ear, that's perfect too. But once again, you might only get a couple of weeks of it. So really, you have to be open-minded about this when you go into feeding. Not put pressure on yourself. Yeah. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. That's very much my outlook when it comes to feeding. Like that, be strong. And this is the thing, have your options, know what your options are, feel confident about what you want to do, even if you still don't know what it is yet. Even until you get into that labor room and say, I still don't know what I'm doing, you know. But if you decide right there and then to latch baby on, go for it. If you decide right there and then, do you know what, I'm just going to go with formula now and see how I feel, that's fine too, you know.
Yeah. And I think back to what you said at the beginning, which is so important, you know, to not to judge yourself or others, and just to let go of expectation and go with the flow. And if you decide on doing it exclusively and it works great, if you decide on combining it with bottle or deciding to just go to the bottle, it's okay as long mm-hmm. as your baby is fed,
yes,
and loved and minded.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I can feel it. I can almost feel, do you know, are we pressing buttons left, right and centre here talking about it? But I think it's important to talk about it, and that's all right, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And look, it's not a one size fits all. So we've touched on the breastfeeding and the bottle feeding and the sleeping and and the physical and the mental and emotional. Other tips for new mothers in this time for them?
Well, there's one thing actually we could talk about, the placenta encapsulation.
Oh yeah, great.
You've gone through that yourself.
Yes, I did that, yeah.
And that has huge benefits with your hormones. First of all, after you have a baby, it really rebalances the hormones in your body. It's supposed to help with postpartum bleeding, to actually cut it down from, like, as we said, it could be 4 to 8 weeks. It says it cuts it down to like 5 to 10 days. With some women, you know, it can really help.
I think that must have been me. Yeah, that sounds familiar, because I had a shorter time with it.
Yeah, which sounds amazing, to be honest. I would go for that option, please. And then as well as that, it obviously the iron levels drop when you have a baby. You lose a lot of blood. And this is to replenish that too. And you get more energy. I only really found out more about this after having my fourth child. I'm raging. I didn't do this, to be honest. If I had a choice, I would be going down that route. Anything to help your body, if it helps your hormones, helps you physically, you know, helps. It actually encourages your milk supply as well. So if you're thinking of breastfeeding,
yeah,
you know, it can actually help that too.
Yeah. And maybe that's the reason why I seem to have, you know, a fair bit of milk afterwards, because I did it, but I have nothing to compare it to.
Yes.
You know, I've only had the one, you know, so far, the one baby. But I'm glad I did it. And I did my research. And I think for anyone listening, it sounds a bit mental.
Yes, what? It does. My husband thinks it's a bit mental too.
Yeah, and most people do when they don't realise. But when you look at the science and the whys,
yes,
and there would be people in the medical profession that would be quite cynical about it. I was met with lots of different reaction to the idea. But I also had a fabulous midwife and a consultant who respected my wishes. And I went with the company. They're actually based in Cork, but they were brilliant because they have a lab. It's all very sterile. You know, it's your, you know, because it's a bit of an odd,
it is,
concept. Mm-hmm. You're placing part of what was in your body in a box, in a nice cold box, and it's being brought off to a lab to be, you know, steamed and dried and then put into capsules, and then you physically take
back
it
in. Yeah.
But I will say my energy levels seem to be quite good. And I again, I have nothing to compare it to. You know, people could say that could be placebo, but I don't know. Would it entice me to do it again? Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a good option for people. Mm. And I've had a lot of questions as well from friends of mine who have been a bit like, oh, well, you did that. What was that like? And I could only think of positives, like in terms of even losing your hair. Like, I didn't lose that much hair. I have thick hair naturally anyway, but I didn't lose a lot.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, is that why?
Well, listen,
it's probably all these things, you know.
All those things help. Like, you know, I wouldn't turn my nose down to it, to be honest. After having a baby and also just having more children and feeling the energy completely deplete, like to say, here, this possibly could help you have a bit more energy,
yeah,
or, you know, just to make yourself feel better, maybe not take the iron tablets that I had to take for 6 weeks after I had my babies, because I'm iron deficient anyway, but so
yeah.
Like, that could have helped, you know.
Yeah.
So it's
exactly.
To think about.
So it's yet another option.
Let's talk baby. Let's talk about the baby.
Okay,
that's what we have to look after as well, I suppose. So the most important thing is that we're looking after both mum and baby. That's postpartum. It's, we've gone through a lot, but also we have to take care of this tiny little baby that's just come out into the new world. And I love, I always think of a brand new baby. Dr. Harvey Karp. So this is an American. He writes The Healthiest Baby on the Block. So it's a very American book, but it's out for years. And he describes a newborn and trying to imagine them coming out, and you want to simulate what they felt in the womb. So you want to try and copy what they're feeling. So think, he has the five S's, it's called, okay? So the first S will go with, it's no order, but swaddling. So think of your baby when you're in your third trimester and there's no room. You feel every wiggle, every movement. That's how baby feels, right? So they're feeling quite tight. When a baby comes out, you see that startle reflex, right? Baby's arms jump out, and like they could be passed out of sleep, and all of a sudden the arms go boom and they wake up screaming because it's just, you know, they've woken themselves up. So swaddling shows you, it mimics what wrapping up baby nice and tight, and it makes them feel secure. It feels like they're back in the womb again, which I love.
And we loved swaddling as well. But funnily enough, I had heard that people were saying, oh, sometimes it's recommended, sometimes it's
here
not.
Here we go again. That's normal.
Personal choice.
That's absolutely personal choice. But also when it comes to swaddling, there's so many different ways to swaddle. So the first thing that they normally say is, oh, it's to do with their hips and it could lead to dislocated hips or clicky hips. That's not the case. So the swaddle that I do is around the arms, the upper arms.
Yeah, that's that was what we did as well. Yeah.
Exactly. That's where the movement happens. And then otherwise it's quite loose around the legs, so it wouldn't affect the hips whatsoever. Yeah. Harry hated his legs being swaddled. He loved his legs, even from a newborn, to kick his little legs around. So I actually did what looks like, if you could imagine, a massive nappy, like arms closed in and then like kind of swaddled up on the legs.
Yeah.
So his legs are free. I have swaddled babies with their arms out because they like to stretch them out, or have their hands next to their face. So there are so many different ways to swaddle, but it's just to do with the feeling of security and the kind of the comfort that babies get from that, from being in the womb. Next is skin to skin. So this is all about mum's hormones, baby's hormones, and releasing that oxytocin. So having baby on your skin, it's nothing like it. Like, no. I wish I was pregnant again just to have that feeling. The smell of baby's skin, they actually regulate their heartbeat off yours. They're so used to it. Yeah. They're so used to your feeling, your smell, everything about you. So that's the second.
And it's good for partners as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And in the hospital, they actually recommend partners to,
which is lovely,
to get their top off and have a little bit. I've seen siblings do it too, which is really sweet.
Really?
Yeah. So
lovely.
You don't have to make sure Cole gets
a little
t-shirt.
Oh, that's so lovely. Oh my goodness. Really? Oh, that's
not gorgeous to think about. And then we have sound. So sound is the third S. And imagine sound to be like what baby hears in uterus. So all the whooshing noises of the fluid, the blood going around. This is kind of like white noise. And there's a lot of talk about white noise too, white noise machines. So this can be used as well for your newborn baby to try and calm them down.
Yeah, we had a toy. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was a sheep.
Oh, you and the sheep. Was
you
it
and
Ewan?
The sheep.
Yes.
Well done. That's it.
And I know them all.
Yeah. And you kind of, you just pinch their paws, hooves, whatever. And it would play different sounds. Mm-hmm. One is kind of like, you know, I don't know, womb-like. And then another is the white noise.
Yeah.
But really effective.
Yeah. And like that, you can use that for part of your sleep training if you wanted to, as baby gets older. Swaying. So, you know, as you're walking around, you're constantly moving that baby. That baby is loving the movement. And you might find that if your baby has a touch of reflux or any kind of colic, actually movement helps. They just seem to calm down straight away when they're up in arms. They feel secure to be with mom and the swaying is happening. So it's all trying to kind of mimic what happens in the uterus.
One of the best things we did was invest in a baby carrier.
Oh my God, yes. Hands-free as well.
Hands-free.
And do you know what, Sheila? With your next one coming and you have Cahill, absolutely go hands-free.
Yeah.
It's just the best. I have a picture of me coming out of Tesco with my two little girls and my 1 week old. And I have my two little hands with my baby girls. It's just the sweetest picture, you know, so go hands-free when you can. Carrier is definitely,
isn't it,
the way to go for sure, yeah.
We found that once we did that, we barely used the crib part of the buggy.
Yes.
You know, because they just...
And they're the expensive part and you don't actually
totally
use it.
We barely used it.
Yeah.
And he was so happy. He'd sleep and he'd cuddle into you. And as you said, you can even wash the dishes. You can make a cup of tea.
Brilliant.
gives you freedom.
And then we have our last S, which would be sucking. So sucking would get comfort from, like, imagine if baby's breastfeeding or on a soother. They say it's great. Soothers are great for SIDS to reduce SIDS as well. Sudden infant death syndrome. So, like, we have to try and think about what baby needs, not what necessarily what we want baby to sleep through would be great. But we have to kind of adapt them back into this new world, you know, coming out of.
And absolutely coming out of their lovely little cushioned, warm little home into this new world. And it must be, even though we don't obviously have memories of it, it must be a pretty
traumatic
for a baby. And as you said, you know, and you touched on it there. And I remember, like, how many times checking Cahill, is he breathing, you know, when he's in a deep sleep, and you're kind of just making sure. Maybe something to mention as well at this point would be the intrusive thoughts.
Yes.
That sometimes can happen. I would be a fairly laid back person most of the time, but I found that you start to worry in a way that maybe you didn't before when you become a mother or father. Because this is the most precious little person in the whole world to you. And your job is to keep them alive, and not just keep them alive, but love them and mind them and allow them to grow and thrive. But really, it's the keeping them alive bit is the most important in those early weeks and months.
Really, for the rest of their life, Sheila.
Yeah, well, that's the gig, isn't it? Okay. But yeah, the whole checking on and breathing. And there would be times when, for a split second, and I know this can be quite triggering because everybody has had different experiences and all the rest, but... you know, you do have to monitor your own worries and try and mind yourself. But it is important to keep an eye and check, you know, and that's why those kind of tips are really vital, I suppose, for people to realise that there are benefits to things like a soother.
Yes.
So some people would have thought, oh, maybe, you know, there was also a school of thought for a while not to use
the nipple confusion of breastfeeding and not using. That's there is also research out there now that says that's nothing at all. Like, it won't make any difference. So once again, it's down to your own choice what you want to use. I've always used soothers. I had one baby point blank refuse it. She didn't want it. That was fair enough. That was her decision. But, you know, it's completely down to you if you'd like to use it. It is recommended to help prevent SIDS. So I would go down with that route. It reminds baby to keep sucking and to keep breathing. Babies do go into quite a deep sleep. They can do. And as you said, that's a big worry. Personally, myself, because I work with so many newborns before even having children myself, I've worked with babies that had issues of breathing as well, and, you know, ambulance being called when I was there.
Okay.
So that, for myself, that was really hard for me to actually get sleep, watching my baby sleep, going, oh God, are they okay? And there are things out there that, if it makes you feel better, which I found, you know, depending on the monitor you have, I had a little mat, a breathing mat under the monitor.
Yes.
And it would signal if she stopped breathing after 30 seconds. And even something so small like that gave me huge peace of mind. And, you know, a couple of months later, we turned it off because when she rolled, then the mat would go off and you're like, oh, turn it off, you know. But while they're small and newborn, and if you feel anyway anxious about that.
They help, yeah.
If they help. But with a newborn, they do sleep up 16 to 20 hours. It's a long time for newborns to sleep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I kind of, I now miss not, you know, really enjoying that period as much. You know, as in, what I'm trying to say is, in the beginning, when he'd sleep, I would just stare at him sleeping. But I think now, and obviously it'll be different because I have a 4-year-old, but I'm hoping to enjoy the newborn phase a bit more.
Yeah. More so, I always say, if it's your second, that's the time that you get to spend with Cahill. There's, like, as we talked about already, the guilt of feeling, oh, I'm not spending time, like, you know, Cahill, all he knew was me for how many years. And now a new baby's coming in. Actually, a new baby sleeps a lot. You're going to have loads of time to spend with Cahill, talking about his little play school or drawing pictures with him. And you're just going to have a little sleeping baby in the corner, you know, and when it comes to feeding, you know, you get your child involved with it too, and you ask him to, oh, pass me the muslin cloth, or, you know, it's not a daunting as what we make in our heads. We always make the big picture to be a bit more scarier, but actually you'll fall into a rhythm and it's going to work really well. Newborns are easier. They are, they really are.
Yeah.
It's when they're on the move, Sheila.
Yeah, that, of
that's
course.
When you have to be worrying.
Eyes back your head territory, totally. Also, maybe in the, just kind of going back to those early days, you know, things like going back into the hospital. Well, if your baby was born in the hospital, you may spend a few nights there, depending on whether it was a natural vaginal birth or a C-section, mm-hmm. however long. But then you have different tests and different things that are done, like the prick test. Is that done at 5 days?
The heel prick, yeah, yeah.
Heel prick test, yes. Mm-hmm. So things like that, that, you know, just for new parents to be aware of, that there are kind of certain things that happen. And of course, at the 6 week mark is another time when you go, mm-hmm. you go for your checks to make sure that you and baby are doing well. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we're not aware of those.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and well, I'm finding at the moment, because I talk to a lot of new mums, that's part of my job, and maybe the care I got, you know, every single county is different, all across the board is different at the moment, but the public health nurse normally comes to your house or you get visits from that, and I'm finding at the moment when I'm talking to parents, there's big gaps. So we normally have the public health nurse come during the first week, and they make sure that if you're breastfeeding, that baby's putting on the weight. The GP check is normally just to do with baby, and then the 6 week check as well. So you're kind of coming and going a lot with the GP. The first couple of weeks are kind of intense when it comes to trying to figure out when the public health nurse is coming or you're going there, fitting in your GP checks as well. And then it feels like all of a sudden then you're into vaccinations if you want to go down that road, you know. So it is kind of full on with the appointments for the first couple of weeks. So it's good to kind of point that out, that you're not just sitting at home and just everything is rosy. You've things to do with a small baby.
Yeah. Now that you've mentioned the vaccinations, for those who... As you said, it is choice. I mean, it's a choice that we made to vaccinate Cathal. But I have to say, I found it really challenging, as in the idea that a bloody needle is going into your precious little baby. You just want to take 1,000 needles instead of them getting it. But it does only last
seconds. And normally the first one is at 2 months, and that's where that's where the small baby going, oh no, I don't want to. And literally probably asleep, and they might make a little meep. Or you know, that's what I got with my kids, and they went back asleep again.
And this is where feeding is
fantastic.
Yeah,
great distraction through it.
And massaging their leg. I read this, and I don't know if it's true, but kind of it's something to do with blood flow. And
if you
kind of
warm the area
mm. and just really rub it nice and get it nice and heated up, and it's less.
That's what they say for the heel prick as well. So before heel prick,
right.
You rub the area too, and get it nice and prepared for what's about to come. But like that, it only lasts a second. And my doctors, I have to say now, hats off to them. They are fantastic when it comes to how they do it, because they go, if it's two injections, the two people come either side and they get it done in one go. So there's not like one, then stop, then cry, then it's just done. And you just pick baby up and give as much comfort as you can to stop the tears. But normally small babies are quite good when it comes to those type of injections.
Yeah. So I suppose really for those listening, it can be a lot to kind of absorb in one sitting. But when you become a new parent, you just have to take it day by day and go with the flow.
Yes. And that's the thing. If we put pressure on ourselves, you know, it's not doing any good. We need to make sure that we're going with the flow. Every single day is different. That's an important thing. You might have a fantastic first day, second day, and then all of a sudden it's down and you don't want to leave the house. But then the next day you're fine. So it will go like that. A bit of a roller coaster.
Drop comparison.
Yes. Yeah. And like even when you leave the house for the first time, it can be a bit daunting. I found that to be, you know, packing a changing bag going, oh my God, why do I need so much stuff for, you know, a half an hour walk? You do. But what I'd say is preparation is key for sure. I always say to have it prepared the night before. So you're not running around trying to go, oh, how many nappies do I need? How many grow bags or grow onesies or anything like that? Changes of clothes. If you're going for a half an hour, you know, car journey, make sure you have anything, if feeding equipment or if you're, you know, if you're breastfeeding, that you have your nipple shields with you. Be prepared the night before, and it takes all the pressure off of the next day and just lets you get out the door with baby.
And the younger the baby, the more stuff you need.
Yes.
The older they get, the
it's
more
so
things
much
start
easier.
To drop away.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
You know, you're back to small baby again.
Do you know what? I feel like I have amnesia. I've forgotten.
Everyone does.
You are reminding me of it all because I had forgotten, yeah, actually how much stuff. You know the way, because now he's at an age where he's four and we can just go. We don't need anything. Don't, yeah, need anything at all.
Yeah.
Off you go. But yeah, when you go back to the buggy and the car seat, yeah, and all
and the
of
wrap, the wrap is with your friend. Your wrap, oh, is, yeah, your best friend.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Any top tips on the stuff that is worth investing in or getting? Obviously, you know, there's certain things that you need kind of straight away. Mm-hmm. The car seat is an essential.
Oh, for sure. You won't be able to leave the hospital
without it. Yeah. And you do need to do a little bit of homework and get to grips with how it works and, mm-hmm, and get it fitted properly and all, yes, of that's really, really important. But there are any kind of products that for you that you felt like, oh God, I wouldn't have been without that now. It's just worked.
I find really practical things like muslin cloths, large muslin cloths. Yes. They are my go-to. I still use them. And my youngest is two.
Yeah.
They are fantastic. They could be a cover for if you're feeding. They could be a cover for when you're burping. It could be if you're changing a baby in, so say like a shopping center or something like that, you put it down on the change mat. So your baby's not touching anything.
Absolutely.
That's not yours. It's amazing. And when you have an older child, it's like if you're going for a long car journey, in case they might feel sick, you have something to clean. Like it's just one of those things.
Yeah. Multi-use. That will stick.
Yes. Probably I'll still have it when they're 18, yeah, you know, just in case. So definitely muslin cloths would be one of my favorite things to use. I would say a breastfeeding pillow or that kind of C-shaped pillow.
Oh yeah,
I find those super handy. So say if you had a section, they tell you not to lift babies, so not to be bending down and lifting baby up. So if you're in your bed and you know you have to feed baby, you have a little C pillow that baby can be right there. So when you burp them, you can put them down on that. So you're not standing up, placing baby down. You know, not doing any harm to your own back as well. I find babies tend to sit quite happily in them because it's raised. So if they need to be burped and you don't have the arms, you can't actually lift them up. Or if you have twins, especially if you have twins, that you have something there to help you through that. I always find my multiple mums are like, how can I lift and burp and feed at the same time? And normally it's through one of those C-pillows.
Okay.
Help you out big time,
yeah,
for that as well.
Brilliant. That's something now to invest in. I didn't have that the first time around, so perhaps that's something to look at. But you could really spend a huge amount of money on the stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff you don't necessarily need too.
No.
But there's a lot of stuff out there to get. I do also have hospital lists, by the way, on my thing, my baby essentials as well,
yes,
up on my page, which is important to go through and not bring too much into the hospital, but the essentials, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're really good. And you were on Ireland AM not so long ago as well, going through, you know, your labour bag and then your when mm-hmm. baby is here bag.
Yes.
Which is really, really important because it can be, and it certainly was for me, quite daunting to know what to bring. I certainly brought stuff that I needed mm-hmm. and then other stuff that never saw the light.
Yes.
And also, yeah, I suppose when I was labour, I don't think my labour bag got opened once, just simply because the way my labour went, mm-hmm. There wasn't really time for the bits and bobs that I had popped in there, you know. Mm. But it's good to have them,
yes,
as an option in case.
Yes. I find it's more so like it just makes you feel comfortable knowing that it's there, even if you don't use it. It's like I remember preparing my first hospital bag was things like, oh, well, enjoy this smelly, you know, scent. I'm going to bring that with me and this nice cream. It was all just about like making me feel, yeah, nice and comfortable.
Yeah.
My fourth, it was like just fling whatever I need in there. A couple of muslin cloths were grand to go, you know, so you do change and adapt when you know what's to come.
Yeah.
But it is nice to feel like a part of home is with you, and you laboured from home as well, didn't you?
I didn't realise I was as far along as I was when we got
to
the hospital.
Isn't that the dream?
I mean, I was in. Yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they didn't quite believe when I arrived at the hospital that I was. They got me at a right time where I was in between contractions, and I ended up being quite silent because that was my process.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, you know,
go into yourself.
Go into myself. Yeah. So when my partner said, I, you know, my partner is in labour, they were like, is she now? Really? Pop up there and we'll see. And I was quite far along, and they said, OK, get her down to the suite, you know. But I was fortunate. It seemed to happen pretty
quick. Well, mine's the opposite.
Quick.
That's,
yeah,
that's why they said that to your partner, because people like me come in going, oh, I'm just about to pop out the baby. And they look and go, yeah, you're not even a half a centimetre. So, yeah, so a couple, you know, 20 something hours later, then my baby came. So like that, it's completely different for everyone.
So different for everyone.
Yeah.
And there's no way of knowing.
No. That's the thing.
Yeah. I suppose baby decides. They
baby decides, yeah. Their prerogative, I suppose.
This has been so informative. I think you've covered so much. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap it up?
I think mainly just make sure there's no pressure on yourselves. When it comes to new babies, the first thing I get asked is, what routine? We need to get baby into routine, to sleep, to... Don't be putting pressure on yourselves. The first 3 months is literally you just do anything you can to feel good in yourself, to survive it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's lack of sleep. It's exhaustion, but you get through it. Just no pressure.
And if you manage to brush your teeth in a day.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. If you brush your hair in a week, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's good going.
Huge achievement. I've never known the magic of dry shampoo like I knew. Became a new mother. It's the best invention ever.
But what I would say is, even though we're talking about not brushing your hair, hot showers are your best friend.
Oh, they are.
For the first couple of weeks, like, I mean, if you need it twice a day, you go for it, because it takes every sting. It makes you feel so refreshed. Even if you had the worst night's sleep, a hot shower, all of a sudden, it's like magic and you can start the day again.
Yes. Now, for some women that do struggle afterwards, depending on stitches or different situations, I've heard that there is a type of a kind of a bath that kind of sits in the toilet. Is that right? That
you can
kind
of
there sits. Is that what it's called?
Sits. That's it.
That you literally sit down on, and it kind of soothes that
area.
That area.
It's very similar to actually the jug. What we do.
Yeah.
So it's about the warm water and kind of helping that area too. There's also little different soaks you can get that have, you know, the Epsom salts in it that's supposed to help heal as well.
Yeah.
So you can do either, whatever you think works for you. If you think a hot shower just to help relieve, definitely with stitches, it takes the sting out and the pain away. Mm. Happy days. If you want to sit and chill out in a bath while partner takes care of baby, you do that too, you know, so you find what works for you.
And also sitting on a special cushion with something else that I know
it's
a friend
like a
of
rubber
mine.
Ring, pretty
that's
much.
That's right.
Yes.
That's what she had because she had... I think she was very uncomfortable put that way, and she found that gave her a lot of relief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's lots of different bits and bobs that you can invest in, but I suppose, look, for things like that, you don't need to get them until you have actually given birth, and then you can decide whether you need things
and that's
or not.
What, yeah, and then like, don't be putting pressure on yourself about baby either. Baby is just happy to be feeding and sleeping, and I get the question about tummy time, like, how much should I be doing it? I'm not doing enough. Listen, it's a small baby, even chest time, I call it. So lying down on the sofa, make sure obviously you're safe and baby safe. But putting baby on your chest that way when they're awake is the most important thing. Not when they're asleep so much, when they're awake, and that strengthens their neck. It strengthens their back, the muscles that they need to do tummy time. That is what tummy time is. So no pressure, like little and often, you know, do it when you can. And yeah, as long as baby is happy and you're happy as well. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. And all babies develop at their own rate.
Absolutely.
Unless there is anything that is a warning sign, you know, stop comparing to what you see online or to your pals or whatever, you know,
which
your baby.
Which can be very hard.
Very hard.
That can be tough when you have friends that have a baby similar age. Why is your baby doing this and mine's not doing that?
Yeah. And also hard, I think, when they come around the public health nurse or whatever with the graphs and the charts. And
the growth
what
charts.
Centile is the baby on and whatever. And it's hard not to feel if they're under the average, or do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not is there something going on here? And I've heard that, you know, like we were the other extreme where our little boy seemed to be in the higher upper end, but then you don't know, like, is that a good thing? I don't know.
We always got that as well, because my babies were all over 10 pounds.
Yeah.
They fed and they're quite tall. I'm quite tall as well. But like that, they're in the 98. I'm like, why is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? You know, it does make you question. This is the thing. A small thing like that can actually trigger you going, oh my God, what's wrong with my baby? And that's where it starts kicking off again. So listen, as long as your baby is happy, healthy and flying out and you see nothing wrong with them, if you do, you go to someone. That's the most important thing. Always reach out for help if you think you need it for yourself or baby. But otherwise, you know, stick to your lane. I always say, just stick to your lane.
Yes,
and just
trust yourself.
Trust yourself.
And don't be afraid to speak up if you need to, because my experience was a very positive one.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant, like wonderful midwives, all so encouraging, wonderful. But there was one that rubbed me up the wrong way who came into the room. And because I'm not what I was in my 20s, say if I was in my 20s, I probably would have said nothing. But I remember saying, I don't think that's appropriate. I had to verbalize my discomfort with how she was speaking to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't see her again. And I was delighted I didn't see her again. I'll be perfectly honest. But that's because I've learned to kind of, you know, stand up for myself and go, okay, that's she. I just thought personally she was speaking to a new mother in a very aggressive way, if I'm perfectly honest, and it certainly didn't help me. And I just said, I'm not happy with this. Mm. And I was polite. I was polite, but I still was able to stand my ground.
That's what happens, because when you're in a new position, so say you've never had a baby before, it's your first pregnancy and you're in the hospital, you take whatever the midwives and doctors say is gold. Like, you're like, absolutely, you know, they're just whatever they say, you say, okay, sure. So when you are met up against someone that has a different opinion to you, or they're making you feel bad about what you have decided, it's important that you do stand your ground and say, no, hold on. You know, I know what's best for me. It's my decision. It's my family at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, when I walk out of here, it's my family that I'm dealing with. And if I decide to feed my baby this way, it works.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly. And to be fair, like, the majority of them are absolute angels.
They are. That's the thing. There's always one bad egg, but that's it. The rest of them are lovely.
So
they
lovely.
Do anything for you.
So lovely. Last thing I'll say before we wrap it up is we remember coming out of the hospital and ringing the coom in a panic, going, you know, what is wrong with Carl? He's still kind of crying. And, you know, we were asked, like, how much did he feed? And we were kind of giving the certain amount of time of breastfeeding, you know, on the breast, thinking that was enough. He said, he's probably just hungry. Just put him back on. It's the simple stuff.
It is.
You just got to sometimes let go of the template that you're given or the time frame, and just tune into your baby and tune into yourselves and trust that you're doing a bloody good job.
Yep.
And you are enough. Mm-hmm. It's important to say that.
And all that matters, your baby just sees you as the most important thing in the world. You know, so just remember that no one can be that baby's mother except you. So that's an amazing role to have.
On that note, we'll let you go. This has been really informative and hugely practical. And I, for one, am extremely grateful to you for being here today. Thanks a million.
Thank you for having me.
And that brings my pregnancy mini-series to an end. If you found these episodes helpful, I would be so grateful if you could share it with a pal on social media, or you can also show your support by leaving a rating or a little comment on Apple, or by clicking follow on Spotify. You've been listening to Ready to Be Real Conversations.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.